I don't need no savior to be washed in his blood. I don't need no perfect, put together pretty words to be enough. No, I want Jesus and his real love, something that I crave deep inside.
In the shadow of my hurt, it's been hard to see your face. When the wreckage and the failure feel like more than I can take. Oh, how I need you. Yes, I still do. Oh, how I'm needing you now. Oh, how I need you. Yes, I still do. Oh, how I'm needing you now. Disappointment stole my song, but I choose to sing again of the kindness you have shown when I could barely lift my head.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Are you ready to have a great day in the house of God? First service was awesome. The presence of the Lord was powerful during worship. And I don't know about you, I'm ready to enjoy the presence of Jesus. We have a lot of folks that are out and about. It's a long weekend, so we want to pray for them. Father, we pray for all those that are out and about, God, and relaxing with their families. Lord, we pray you keep them safe, bring them home next week. Lord, if they're watching by live stream, let them sense the anointing in a strong manner. God, just pour out your spirit today. Lord, the only thing we want is you. So God, we're going to give all that we have. When we worship Jesus, we're not going to give a little bit. We're going to give 100%. God, we're going to honor you, Lord, because we love you. So today, Holy Spirit, do whatever you want, because this is your house and not ours, for the glory of heaven. And everybody said, let's enjoy Jesus.
Awesome. How many of you are excited that you are free this morning? Amen. All right. I just want you to do one quick thing for me. I want you to pick someone out up at the altar or somebody sitting next to you. And I want you to say, I am free. I just want you to say, hi, I am free. Go find five or six people. Hello, Jesus made me free, everybody. It's a reason to celebrate. All right. So this song is really, really simple, but it requires a little bit of movement, okay? So when I say I am free to run, we're gonna move a little bit, okay? Find a different spot up at the front. I'm free to dance. You can just two-step, nothing crazy. Just go side to side. When I sing I'm free to live for you, I want your hands up, okay? Everybody in the building, let's try it. I am free to run.
Through you the blind will see.
Go ahead.
Through you the
this race this morning? Amen. I find that whenever I praise Jesus, I have a joy that nobody else can give me. Can I see you step side to side? Go ahead with me. Like this. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Hey, we're getting it. Can I see you clap? All right, this song is releasing. So free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. Sing it up. I never been so free, caught in your love for me. Can I see you clap? Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. I never been so free, your love for me. So free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure.
protector, protector, protector. Oh, awesome, yeah,
yeah.
Awesome. Provider, 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 provider. Oh, awesome, yeah. My healer, my healer, my healer, my healer. Oh, awesome, yeah. He's mighty, he's mighty, he's mighty, he's mighty, yeah.
Falling, his body.
God, we thank you that we can glorify you. Lord, it amazes me that we can literally step into the presence of heaven. God, we can share our hearts with you. We thank you for the awesome privilege of the blood that washes away every single sin. God, that we have the right to be able to call you Father. We have the right, God, to be where you are. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll change our lives today in this room. Lord, nothing else matters but you. And so today we just surrender our hearts to you. Jesus, be glorified with everything that we say and do. We honor you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And we need you, Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen. On your way back to your chair, why don't you welcome three or four folks that maybe you don't know. Come on, don't be a snob this morning. Make sure that you go say hi to somebody you have not met before. Shake their hand and say, well, good morning. I thank God you're in his house. Come on, make sure you say hi to somebody. Say hi to somebody. A lot of people sitting down. Why don't you turn around then? If you're not going to get up, turn around to somebody and say, well, good morning. Did everyone get to say hello to at least one person? Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? How many of you love Jesus this morning? Praise the Lord. We want to give God praise, give him testimony. Last Sunday morning, I believe it was 10 people were reconciled to God. They either made their lives right or first born again. Praise the Lord. That was out here in the main sanctuary. And then 7 children gave their hearts to Jesus last Sunday morning. And 7 of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. Glory to God. Also, there were 6 youth that were born again on Thursday night. So, my goodness, a lot of kids. And then Michelle came up and said her daughter led 3 people to Jesus this week at school. Woo! Praise God. Come on, can you do me a favor? Can you stand your feet one more time and let's give God a hand clap? Don't let the angels out shout you this morning. Father, we thank you for saving souls. We thank you, God, for bringing them back to you. Lord, use us in Jesus' name to reach this region for you. We love you, God. Thank you for the honor and the privilege of the gospel. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Do you know the average church in America sees less than 1 soul saved a year? And in just 1 week, that was, we got to count that up, 10 reconciled, 7, 17, 6, 23, 25. 25 people born again last week since last Sunday. Isn't that awesome? Go Jesus. I love that. I love to see souls harvested for the kingdom of God. We have some announcements for you.
It was all right, but...
I'll never let you go, Jack!
Don't let me go, Rose.
Yo, dog. It was all right, but, you know, there was a couple things that, you know, you probably could have done differently. Like, y'all should have cried. Like, you know, when she let you go, like, I would have cried.
I just don't think I totally agree with what he said there. I could just really feel your heart. And it's a sweet one. No, really. Seriously, girls. Keep doing what you're doing.
I honestly don't know if that was comedy or if that was a drama. Paula, have you been drinking again?
No.
Seriously, you must have had a wild night out because you are either blind or absolutely have lost it. It was so bad that honestly, your trip to his tabernacle, you're not even getting it. The audio person has done a better job than you did. That was absurd. Congratulations, you're going to his tabernacle.
Hey, dude, you want some candy?
Oh, pizza.
I got some candy.
No, oh, pizza.
Listen, all I got is candy. That's it. Candy, I don't have any pizza. Okay?
Hey, we got Harvest Fest coming up. It's October 31st right here at the church. It's a Tuesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to be doing games indoors from 6 to 7, and then from 7 to 8, we're doing trunk or treat. So make sure you donate your candy. Also, bring your trunks, put some treats in them, and let's bless these kids. Again, Harvest Fest, October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. We'll see you there. Hey, family, listen to this. Next steps. All right, listen, I want you to repeat after me. Next steps. Go ahead. Very good. Listen, we got some classes for you. Starting in step one, we got Rock Solid Faith happening every single week. Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m., and then every Thursday night at 6 p.m. We also have step two classes starting fresh October 24th with marriage, and then October 26th with family and parenting. Those classes will be at 7 p.m. And then we have a step three class called Kingdom Principles that happens every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Make sure you sign up for a Next Steps class today. Hey, something new that we're doing here at His Tabernacle. Every single Sunday, you are going to have bulletins and envelopes right in your seats. But in case you did not get one, we have them right here in the back wall with our offering envelopes. And also our bulletins are right here on the wall in case you want to grab one on your way out. Oh, and guess what? Our pastor, he's so cool and awesome. We even got sermon notes on the back side now. Isn't that cool? So make sure this is where you can get your bulletin and your offering envelope if you need it.
All right, you guys. Pastor Chad is out of town. We need to come up with a good theme while he's away. What?
You're not Pastor Chad.
Yeah, he's in Mexico. Do you have any ideas, Marcus?
Flannel.
Can you elaborate?
The theme should be flannel.
Any other ideas besides Marcus?
Ooh, how about a Fear Factor night?
Yes!
We should serve apple crisp and ice cream.
Mark! Actually, that's not a bad idea. But let's keep building off of Fear Factor. I want some really serious, gross-out games to get people's attention.
Yeah, but we're gonna need a prize to actually motivate people to come. We're gonna need, like, 12 people, maybe?
You think $150 is enough to motivate people?
Oh yeah, that'll work.
Awesome. Let's do that then. Marcus, what do you think?
What is it, Marcus?
Pastor Chad, where are you? Randall's ruining everything.
Mexico right now. The word of God says go into all the world. So His Tabernacle, we are going into all the world. All of us together. When they're there, we're there. So they're preparing the way and getting ready for us to come down and join them. With Brother Tiff, we have the soul winning crusade in the evening, but we also have the university, which this will be the very first time ever that God, the church, has been invited to the university to speak. And they've increased the amount of students. It's now 3,000 students that have not heard the gospel of Jesus. get to hear the gospel of Jesus this next week. So all of our sowing into this, even Pastor Patricio, our pastor in the church down there, he sold his truck so that he could make sure souls would be saved for this event. So all of our sowing, be in prayer this next week that the harvest will be great. And the thing that we promise is it's not going to be they get to raise their hand, come up, and get saved. But we have trained and taught on follow through and follow up. Our goal is that every single salvation down there will take root and produce fruit. So be in prayer this next week as we all go down to Mexico and make an impact as we go into all the world. There is so much going on at His Tabernacle. These awesome new bulletin designs that have the notes on them. Make sure you take it home with you. Read, get involved, get connected, come out and have fun. We actually just had a ladies' night this Friday night. It was in your bulletin. And ladies, guess what? It was a competition against the men's night. The men did pretty good. They had 44 men that showed up to their event, but the girls won. We had 46 ladies show up. So now the guys get to serve us breakfast as our reward for winning. So I think every man that didn't show up and support these guys should be the men that come and help support cooking breakfast, since you didn't help the guys out. So anyways, all fun little competition, but get involved and get connected. Come out and have fun. We had a blast the other night. Some people painted and some just walked around and talked and hung out and had fun. So come out and get involved. We want to welcome all of our guests to the house today. Thank you so much for joining us. I know it's a brave thing when you come into a different environment. So we celebrate you and welcome you to the house today. If it's your first time, if you would just raise your hand, we have a gift we would love to get in your hands. So if it's your first time, just raise your hand up. We'll get a gift to you. And we thank you for coming to the house today. If you're watching by a live stream, you're our family, and we thank you for joining us. We know you are going to have such a powerful encounter with the Word of God today that will change and transform your life. And if you're a guest in the house today, right after this service, we have a guest reception with the pastors in the side hallway. So if you just make your way there, we'd love to greet you and welcome you for coming today. Thank you so much. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, I just love the Word of God. You know, we take a little bit of time every week, maybe 3 minutes out of the service every week, to talk about what God's Word has to say about money. And the amazing thing about God's Word is a law. It is a law we can count on, and we can bank on it. So God's Word, we bring it every single week to you. The spoken word at the beginning of time created gravity. And do you know that same spoken word is still present today? Do you all agree that gravity is still in effect today? It's working and functioning right now as we're here. That same law that makes gravity stay in effect is the same law that makes His Word on whatever topic still true and applicable today. And Malachi 3, verse 10, it says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse." Now again, this is not my words. It's not what I'm making up. This is God's Word. Malachi 3:10. Open it, read it. It's the Word of God. It says, "Bring the whole tithe," tithe means a tenth, "into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing until it overflows." Remember, the same law that keeps gravity in place and happening is the same law that we can count on from His Word that declares right here that says, "I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing." And it gets better than that. Listen to this next portion. It says, "Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your ground." He takes it a step further. How many of you need the devourer rebuked in your life? Amen. It's a promise. It's a law, just like gravity is. When we bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, he then blesses us to overflowing and rebukes the devourer on our behalf. How awesome that we can count on the word of God to be true through and through every single area of our life. Amen. So if you've never tithed before, maybe you've never, the word of God in here says, test me in this and see. You need a turnaround in your finances. You need some supernatural miracles. You need some rebuking to happen in your life. I encourage you today to invoke the law of the word of God that is as true as gravity and tithe. Bring a tenth of your income into his storehouse and his laws will work. We have testimony after testimony. Even this morning received a powerful testimony on tithing that I'm sure you'll get to hear from the pulpit soon. But make sure you're invoking the principles of the word of God for your finances so that you can be blessed. Are you ready to give this morning? Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration, but before we do, today we are having communion. We are going to remember the covenant that God cut with us in every aspect. What an awesome day. So repeat after me, Deuteronomy 28, again, simply the Bible, the Word of God. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. Listen, you can count on what we're saying right now, just like you can count on gravity's holding you to the ground. So as you're saying this, you count on it. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offering and make sure you come forward for your communion cups also.
Thank you.
praise the Lord. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. We're going to receive communion this morning. If maybe you need to move, maybe you're on this side and you're going to have a hard time seeing. If you want to migrate a little, that would work for you. If not, you can still see from where you're at. They're going to end up pulling it back a little. We're going to receive communion this morning. You know what I found is that a lot of people don't understand communion. A lot of folks have grown up in the religious world, and they take communion, and it's just a habit. But that's not what Christ's plan was at all. The purpose for communion is to remind us what Jesus has done for us. God is a covenant God. Turn to someone and say, my God is a covenant God. Covenant is so much different from religion. Religion is a bunch of do's and don'ts, but covenant is everything. Why is covenant so powerful? Because it's a contract that God has made between you and us. And that covenant is yea and amen. How many of you glad God can't lie? So if God says it, it's true. And that's what the exciting part about taking communion is because God reminds us what Jesus paid for. You know, we've talked about this many times, is there's two things you cannot separate. It's called the blood and the body. Everybody say it out loud. Blood and body. Exodus chapter 12, Exodus chapter 15, Psalms 103, Psalms 105, Psalms 107, Isaiah chapter 53, Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11 all talk about the blood that represents forgiveness and the body that represents healing. This is part of your covenant. That means if you're a child of God, shout amen, then those are your rights. You know, we as Americans have a constitution, and we have certain rights and privileges according to that constitution that we can stand on and know that it could go all the way to the Supreme Court, and it's going to be held up that this is our right. This is your right according to the Word of God, the blood and the body. You know, every single morning, I pray for my family, and I pray for you. And I want to share with you what I pray for my family. I don't do the exact same for us, but for the whole, but it's a little bit different. But for my family, this is what I pray for every morning. Father, I thank you for your covenant. I thank you, God, to the fifth generation, that you're going to bless my generations with this covenant. Lord, I thank you that not one, and I actually name us, Michael, Rhonda, your name's Karanda, right? That's what her mother used to call her. Michael, Rhonda, Cody, Chad, Corinne, Mindy, Jade, I had almost thought lost your name. Mindy, Jade, Sophia, Julian, all of Chad and Jade's children, they're not even born yet, but God already knows who they are. I pray from Corinne's husband, she doesn't even have a boyfriend, Corinne's husband and all of Corinne's children to the fifth generation. And I declare that in the name of Jesus, not one of them will be lost to sin. Not one of them will fall away from God. But every single one of them, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the covenant he caught on Calvary, that every one of them will serve Jesus the rest of their lives. I declare that not one of them will stumble and fall away from God, but each one, every one of them, will become a minister of the gospel of Jesus. Whether it's full-time ministry or marketplace ministry, they'll serve God all the days of their lives. And then I decree over them the covenant that deals with the body, that by the body of Jesus Christ, that by his stripes we were healed, there'll be not one sickness, not one disease, no maiming and no wounding on my family to the fifth generation, according to the covenant that God cut through Jesus Christ. And I declare that our family will not experience poverty to the fifth generation. Not one of these children will experience that. And I declare it to the fifth generation, even to Corinne's husband and Corinne's children. You want to know why? Because words are seed. And God always stands behind his covenant. And so today, as we're sitting here, we're remembering the covenant of God. We're remembering that by his stripes we were healed. We're remembering that through the blood of Jesus, every sin has been forgiven. If you confess your sins, he said, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So today, I'd like you to take the cracker. The cracker represents the body of Christ. And if you're a child of God and you got sickness in your body, it's time to give it back. The Bible says that all of them were nailed to the cross. What's interesting is that usually you'll ask somebody, so what's wrong? Well, I've got this sickness or I've got that disease. It's time to give it back to the one who took it on Calvary. Amen. Don't take it for yourself, words or seed. Give it back to Christ. Father, we thank you that in the name of Jesus, every disease is subject to you. We thank you that in the name of Jesus, every sickness, even the common cold, has no right on the child of God. I thank you, God, that in the name of Jesus, you protect us from maiming and wounding. Jesus, even as you healed the man whose hand was withered, you can also heal, Lord, even those portions of our body that have been deteriorated. Lord, we declare in the name of Jesus that by your stripes, we were healed 2,000 years ago on Calvary's tree. In Jesus' name. And then he told them, let's partake together. He then picked up the cup. He said, this is the blood of the New Testament. The great part to know is there's not one sin that's too big for God. Doesn't matter what you've done. He'll wash it away. And what's even better than that, he won't even remember it anymore. He says, I'll never hold it over your head. I'll never throw it back in your face. If you will confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you, and I'll throw it as far as the east to the west and remember it no more. That's the best part, isn't it? He won't even remember it. We bring it up and he goes, what? So today, how many of you are glad your sins have been forgiven? Today, if you're not born again, at the end of this service, we're going to give you opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. And I declare that Jesus will wash your sins away. He'll heal your body, and you'll be a changed person by the end of this day for the glory of God. Can I hear an amen? Father, we thank you for the blood that forgives every single sin. And today we receive it as we're remembering what you did on the tree. God, we thank you that your son didn't just remain in the grave, but on the third day rose from the dead. And today we celebrate victory over sickness, over disease, and over poverty for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody receive and said, amen. Let's partake together. You know, when I was a child, we used to use Welch's grape juice. We would line up after service to get the leftovers. The one thing for sure about these things is you don't ever wait for leftovers. Wow. Today we're stepping into the last week of the series dealing with get up. Turn to somebody and shout, get up! I can't hear you. I said, get up! You got to put a little flair in there. Get up! Oh, I heard that now. Now turn to someone next to you and say, get up! Man, this is the series that we've been talking about, how God wants you to know that you can get up, that you don't have to stay down, that you don't have to be defeated, that no matter how you have failed or sinned or walked away or fell, that God wants you to get up. Turn to someone and say, get up! The verse is found in Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 31. I love this verse because it's our Lord talking to Peter, the one man who everyone thought was the guy. He was the strength. He was the power. He was the guy that had everything in his pocket. But now we're going to see that the devil hates you. Turn to someone and say, the devil hates you. That's right. The devil hates you. He's not your friend. But the good news is that Jesus is praying for you. The Bible says that the Lord said, who is Jesus, Simon, Simon, indeed, that means without question, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith shall not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. You know what I love about this verse? Is many people overlook this, that Jesus was praying for what? Not that Peter wouldn't sin, but he was praying that Peter's faith would not fail. You see, the devil is not after your life. The devil is not after your money. The devil is not after your health. The devil is not after anything but your faith. Because if the enemy can get your faith, then he has every portion of who you are. Why? Because the Bible declares that without faith, it's impossible to please God, that you have to have faith to activate heaven. So if the enemy can get your faith, then you will walk away from the Lord. So what Jesus was praying for was a powerful thing. He said, I'm praying that your faith, that your faith will not fail. And when you get up, you see, this is the good news. Jesus even already knows the times that you're going to wipe out. Jesus already knows the times that you're going to fall. Jesus already knows the times that you're going to fail. And this is what he has to say to you. Get up. It's time to get up. I'm praying for you. You're not alone. You're not just stuck in a corner. You're not set apart to fail. But God has a message for you. Jesus is praying that your faith will not fail. And when you get up, be an encourager. Strengthen somebody. Don't just say that. I just got up myself. Be somebody who's going to bring somebody else with you. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, I love this portion of the scripture because it helps us understand, even in our frailty, that Jesus believes in us. You see, God believes in who you are. You weren't born 10,000 years ago. You were born right now, at this time, at this period, because God's got a specific plan for your life. The issue is this, not that God doesn't have a plan, but how many of us will fulfill it? You see, the issue comes down to is that God already knows that we're going to make bad choices. Can I hear an amen? How many of you have made a bad choice in the last week? Here's the big one. How many of you made such a bad choice at one point in time that if you could erase it, you would? But you can't. But the great thing is this. Is that when you were falling, Jesus was already praying for you. When you were falling, he was praying that your faith would not fail, that you would not stay down, that you would not give up. He was praying that when you got up, not if you got up, but when you got up, that God would use you in somebody else's life to be an encourager and a builder and a strengthener. You need to recognize how important your life is to God and to his people. Can I hear an amen? You see, the truth is that you and I getting up plays a large role in somebody else's life. There is not one person in this room that's an island to themselves. They say the most recluse individual touches at least 5,000 people before they die. That means the individual that stays in their house all the time, that isn't somebody that's running around and isn't that flower in the community, there's that person that just... And no one seriously really knows. That individual touches at least 5,000 people before they die. You see, everybody in this room holds such a powerful posture in bringing someone to salvation. Such a powerful posture in bringing someone out of the depths of hell and into heaven's store. God wants you to know that if you don't get up, it's going to affect not just you eternally, but many other people eternally. Amen. Now, you're going to have to amen a little bit louder this morning because that fan is really loud. A little bit louder. We are a Pentecostal church. I'm not ashamed of our heritage. Now, if we were Baptist, we'd all be quiet. But we ain't Baptist. I said we're not Baptist. We're shouting believers. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. You see, every one of us got to recognize that if we don't get up, it makes a change and a difference in somebody else's life. Now, let's look at Peter. Here's Peter. No one ever thought he would ever deny Christ. In fact, do you remember how powerful of speech he made to Jesus? He said, Lord, I want you to know that if they come after me to kill me for you, I'll die for you. If they throw us in prison, I'll go to prison for you. But not too long after that, what happened? He denied Jesus not once. He denied Jesus not twice. But he denied Jesus how many times? Three times. The Bible says that the moment that Jesus heard that the rooster crow is a change of the guard, not a chicken. When the shift came for the guards at that point in time, immediately the Bible says that Jesus looked at Peter in the eyeballs, and when he looked him in the eyeballs, it was not condemnation, but reminding Peter what Jesus already said, I'm praying for you. Here we have Peter. The Bible says that when Jesus looked at him, he looked and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Luke chapter 22, verse 62. Here's the interesting part that I want to get to. Peter failed, he fell, But he had to make a decision. Am I going to get up or am I going to stay down? Am I going to get up and start running again, or am I going to lay here and soak and whine and weep and not move forward in my walk with God? I want you to recognize that everybody at some point in time, nobody in this room is aside the fact of the opportunity to fall away from God. I don't care how many years you've been saved, I've watched preachers walk away from Jesus. It doesn't matter how many years you've been serving God, every one of us have to stay on top of our relationship with the Lord. And when we fall, we've got to get up. Shout, get up. I can't hear you. Shout, get up. You gotta get up. You see, because Peter went from falling and failing, and he got the eyes and the mind of God that spoke fulfillment. See, this is the difference. People that fall and fail but don't understand how important they are to heaven, they end up staying down. But those who recognize the fulfilling call of God on your life, how important you are to somebody else, how God has fit and fashioned you, given you gifts and talents for this very moment of history, that when you recognize that, it is not possible for you just to be in survival mode and just barely make it. But God has a plan and a purpose of fulfillment. What was Peter's plan and fulfillment? It's right here in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. It says this, "But also I say to you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." Jesus spoke that promise before Peter fell. Let me say it again. Peter was promised the fulfillment of his call before he ever fell. Before you ever fall, Jesus already has a fulfillment for you. And what's awesome about that is that many times we give up on who we are in Christ, but Jesus has never given up on us. That God believes in us. He said, "Listen, I knew you were going to fall before I ever called the world into existence. I'm praying that your faith will not fail." And if you get up, come on now. You see, this is the question. What would have happened to Peter's fulfillment if he had never gotten up? Peter was called to preach the very first message on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The Bible says that he stood up and he preached the gospel of Christ. "These men are not drunk as you suppose," but he said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And he started preaching about Jesus. And that day, 3,000 men gave their hearts to the Lord. They figure about 10,000 to 15,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus because of Peter's first sermon. But can you imagine if Peter did not get up? Listen, I was talking in my office about how many people over the years I've watched not get up. It's extremely sad to see how many people that come in and God's touched them and God's changed them, and there's been a tremendous supernatural touch on their life, but they've fallen, they've gone back to an old sin, or they've struggled with something, and instead of getting up, they give up. You want to grab them, you want to shake them, and you want to say, "Listen now, God's got so much for you. Don't trade it in. Don't go back to the world. Don't go back to what you know doesn't work. It's time to shake yourself and stand up and fight the good fight of faith." But sadly enough, most of them, listen now, I'm just going to be honest with you, as a pastor, most of them don't. Can you imagine if Peter didn't get up? He would never have preached the first message of the church's launch. Can you imagine if he had missed that portion of the fulfillment of his life? I want to challenge you today. I don't know what trouble you're having. I don't know what sin you're struggling with. But this one thing I know is that Jesus is praying for you. All of heaven is cheering you on. God believes in you. It's time to get up. It's time to get off the floor. It's time to get your head high. It's time to start running this race. It's time to win because God believes in you. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Sometimes we just come to a place where we make up excuses. I want you to realize that every excuse will always tear you away from your fulfillment. Every excuse that you and I use will destroy the call of God on our life. I know people that have fallen, and man, some of them fell pretty big. And what they said was, well, I can't come back to the church because I'm afraid people are talking about me. Everybody knows my business. Listen, I want you to realize you are not that important that everybody in this building knows you. That's good news for you. People don't know your business. And if they do, let me know. We'll help them out the door. Because we don't allow gossip in this place. The fact is that your own head is telling you that everybody knows the problems that you've had. Everybody knows the sin you've worked with. Everybody knows how bad you fell away from God. Oh my goodness, I can't go back there. They all know. Listen, they don't know. In fact, if they did know, and they're true believers, the Bible says that they're there to build you up, not tear you down. They're there to encourage you and strengthen you, not rip you away. In fact, I want to address all those who call themselves spiritual Christians here. It's so funny, in the ministry, you hear people say all the time, well, I'm a mature Christian. I've been saved 437 years. I want you to know that maturity in God has nothing to do with the amount of years you've been saved. The Bible says, if you are mature, you will be a restorer. The Bible says, if you are mature, that you will restore those who have fallen away from the Lord. You will be a person that will go with grace and with mercy and will restore them back to their walk with Jesus. Why? Because that's the heart of heaven. That's the heart that Jesus has. God does not want one to perish, but that all should come to repentance. We've got to get back to the mind of God. And the mind of God is that he's cheering us on and saying, come on now. I'm not a Messiah that does not understand what you've gone through. I've been tempted with every temptation you have. And even if you fell, it's time to get up. I'm praying for you. And if you need more help, those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. You see, this is the mind and the heart of God. Sometimes we get in that position where we just can't seem to get out of it. You've tried to break the power of this sin in your life. You've tried to conquer it, but you kind of always seem like you're heading back down in. SWAT. You're serving the Lord, and man, you're standing strong. Then all of a sudden, you start to sin. Man, you're trying. You're trying to get back up. You're trying everything you know. You're being faithful to church. You're praying. But man, it seems like there's a struggle. But I want you to recognize this, that the awesome part about your life is that you don't have to live your life alone. We're called the body of Christ. We're called brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're called to be people that will strengthen each other, not tear each other down. Can I hear an amen? Amen. What happens is this, is when you call on Jesus, he's going to start helping you, but he's also going to send you people that will build you up, strengthen you, and push you over the top. Can I hear an amen? You don't have to do this all by yourself. This is why we have so much going on in this church, so you can build godly relationships. You see, every one of us need friends in this room that are going to be there when we fall. It's not, listen now, some of you have your bar friends. They're not going to help you when you fall. They're going to pass you a bud. Booze is not going to help you at this very moment. Can I help you? Smoking a little weed isn't going to give you enough peace. And getting a peace is not going to get you enough peace. Can I hear an amen? You've got to be a person that recognizes that you need godly friends around you. Can I hear an amen? You need godly friends around you. You need people that when you start to struggle, when you start to stumble, when you start to fall, you know that you can call them, that if God touches their heart. One day I was at my computer, and a young man that had left the house of God, he had moved on to a different place and ended up not going to church at all anymore. And one day I'm on Facebook, and I just, in my spirit, I felt God say, send him a text, just tell him that you love him. And I sent him a little note, and I said, I want you to know that I'm praying for you today. And I want you to know that home is always open for you. If you want to come home anytime you want. You know what? He texted me back and he said, Pastor, I'm driving down the road. He said, I just got done praying. God, I need to get my life right with you. God, I need to get back into your house. He said, that text came at the exact same time. And I want you to know that now he's back in the house. His heart is back right with the Lord. His marriage is being restored. And God is doing great things. Why? Because somebody was there to push him over the edge. We all need friends. Can I hear an amen? Amen? The Bible says in Mark chapter 2, starting with verse 1 through 12, we're not going to read the whole thing. But the Bible's talking about a situation that was happening where Jesus was in a house. And he's in this house, and there are so many people that have come for salvation. Oh, I'm glad that fan went off. There's so many people that came for healing and people that came to hear the gospel and people that even came to cause Jesus problems. The Bible says the house was absolutely full, and there was this guy who was a paralytic, which means he was paralyzed. He could not get to where he wanted to go himself. Do you realize sometimes you're so paralyzed in your sin, you can't even get out of it yourself? You can't even think of a way to get out yourself. But I want you to see what this guy had. He had four friends. The Bible says that he had four friends that picked him up on a stretcher and brought him to the house that Jesus was at. Why? To be healed. I want you to recognize the greatest healing is your heart, that God can restore you. God can bring the sin and push it as far as the east of the west and remembering it no more. He can make you a man and a woman of God. That's the awesome part about our relationship and the blood of Jesus. So here he is. They get to the house. His four buddies are carrying him. And what they find out was this, is that there was no way to get into the house. The crowds were so big. This is the kind of friends you need in your life. These friends brought him up on the roof and started taking the roof apart so they could lower him through the roof so he could get to Jesus. I want you to recognize when you're fallen, when you can't get up, when you're in a position of failure, and sometimes you see that there is no hope, you need friends around you that are going to pick you up, that are going to speak life to you, that are going to carry you if they've got to, and they'll lower you to the heart of God. Why? Because without friends, that they'll always find, you'll always be limping on your own. If this man didn't have somebody to come in behind him and push him up, he'd have just kept slipping back. Some of us, we don't have enough friends. And the friends we have are not godly. And so when we struggle, just recently we had somebody say they were struggling and they went to one of their unsaved friends. Somebody had done something to that to church, and it was inadvertent. Nobody did it on purpose. It was a mistake. It was an accidental hurt. And that happens more often than it does that somebody does something on purpose to you. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And so she went to her unsaved friend. You know what her unsaved friend said to her? Just leave the church. Why would you want to go to that kind of place? Why would you want to go to that church? That doesn't even make sense that you go there and get your heart hurt. You're supposed to go there and always be happy. That's not the kind of friend you need. You need a friend that says, listen, obey the Bible. If someone's offended you, go and make it right with them. Go if they've hurt your feelings, go and repent or make it to a position where they know that they've wounded you so they can make it right. That's what the Word of God declares. The world is always going to push you away from God. Christ is going to push you to God. And if you're an individual that doesn't have godly friends, then when you're struggling, when you fall down even like Peter did, you don't have anybody to help you up. I want to challenge you. You've got to look at your circle of influence. And you've got to say, who are the people that are speaking the most into my life? Who, if I fell today, would be there to pick me up? And who, if I fell today, would... I'm behaving myself. Who today would sit back and say, you know, I believe in who you are. It's time to... I'm really behaving myself. Time to get up and run this race. You've got to look at the people that are in your life. Because the truth is that at some point in time, you're going to make a bad choice. And at some point in time, you're going to start condemning yourself. At some point in time, you're going to struggle with a sin, and you need people in your life that are going to build you up, that are going to push you on, they're going to kick you if they have to kick you, they're going to grab you if they have to grab you, but they're going to get you back up so you can run this race to win. I'm always so impressed with my wife. As you know, my wife is a woman that has... Many of you don't know, but she's overcome many things in her life. And what I found about people that seem to fall is they always start using those excuses. And their friends will help fill those excuses. It's amazing how many people, when you go to your friend, you go to them because you know they're going to give you the answer that you really want. Whoop, let's move on. My wife has overcome so many things. Many of you don't know, but she was sexually abused by 3 different men. One was her father. Her mother, who really, through a divorce, her father divorced her mother, ran off with her best friend. Her mother ended up living with us. We ended up putting her through college. And one day we get a phone call that her mother had died. We went, actually it was within 12 hours after we got the call that she had died in the hospital. Then her father was murdered, and they never found the murderer. Never mind all the people of the church at some point in time that have love, 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 you're my friend, 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 and then when they stick the knife in your back, they make sure they twist it an extra. There's every reason in the world not to get back up if you're Rhonda Spencer. But I want you to recognize that she is a powerful woman of God, not because she's better than anybody else, but because she has made a choice. I refuse to stay down. I refuse to use excuses. I refuse to have people around me that are not going to build me and strengthen me. You see, who's around you has a direct impact of how far you're going to go in the fulfillment of the call of God on your life. And you see, she's going to go all the way because she surrounded herself with people that are builders and strengtheners that will grab her, kick her, spank her if necessary, but she's going to run this race and she's going to win it because she chooses to get up. Get up. It's time to get up. You got to get up. Stop using excuses. It's going to tear away the fulfillment of the call of God on your life. You see, today I just want to give you 2 last verses, and it's this. Philippians chapter 3 verse 13 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended," which means he's not perfect. "But this thing that I do, this one thing that I do," if I shout one, shout one. "This one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." When you fall, get up. There's fulfillment in front of you. Can you imagine Joseph? If Joseph, after his brothers deceived and threw him in a pit and then sold him, and then he was lied about, and then he was put in prison, and all the, can you imagine if Joseph didn't get up? The entire children of Israel wouldn't have been saved. If the children of Israel wouldn't have been saved, then the Messiah would not have come. I want you to recognize your life is not your own. God's got a plan and a purpose. You've got to get up, no matter how hard it is. Get people around you that will pick you up, speak life to you. It's time to get up and run this race to win. Can I hear an amen? Shout amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." You see, today, Jesus is praying that your faith will not fail. Why? Because when we have our last stand, the one thing that will keep us standing after you've done all you can do to stand therefore, is standing in faith, knowing that our God is able to do abundantly above all that you could ask or imagine, knowing that no matter how big the sin, if you ask forgiveness, he'll wash it away. No matter how bad the problems, my God is able to do abundantly above. Listen now, "If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. You are not weak, but you are strong. You are not a failure. With God on your side, there's nothing you can't do." Get up. Shout, get up. See, today the question comes down to not if you're going to make a bad choice, but when you make a bad choice. And the choice comes down to who are the people around you and will you get up? You see, when you make a choice that there is nothing that will hold me down, there's nothing that will stop me, there's nothing that I will lay down and just die for. Listen now, you got to know Sister Shirley. Man, Sister Shirley, she's a great woman of God. And I come on up here, young lady. You're 27 this year? 81 years old. You got it? 81 years old. Gave her testimony a few weeks ago. Last year, she was hit by a police car. $4 million worth of doctor bills. She shouldn't be standing here. Doctors give no hope. You know what she always says? My God is a healer. No more than 2 months ago, she couldn't walk without assistance. Pastor Palko laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, and she started walking and moving and running around a little bit. And God, and she don't even use a walker anymore. I want you to know, you got to learn to get up. If you're 81 years old, you got to say, I'm getting up. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm never giving up on God because he's never given up on me. And there's nothing I can't do through Jesus Christ, my Lord. You got that?
14 miles a week.
She's walking 14 miles a week. Get up! Get up! You gotta get up! No matter what, you gotta make a decision. I'm not just gonna get up and stay where I'm at. I'm getting up like Peter, and I'm gonna get the fulfillment. Jesus knew that he'd preached the gospel, the very first sermon that ever launched the church. God's got plans for you. It's time to get up and don't just waddle on. It's time to get up and run this race to win, because God's plan for you is bigger than your mind can even conceive. Your eye has not seen. Your ear has not heard. Your mind cannot even conceive the great things that God has in store for you. Get up, because when you get up and you start running again, God is pushing you all the way. So the question today is, who do you got around you? Who are the people you're surrounding yourself with? Are they builders or are they terrorists? Are they people that are going to push you or are they people that are going to pull you away? Are you going to get up off the floor or are you going to use excuses? It's time to say, there are no more excuses. I'm going to get up and run this race. I'm going to finish. I'm going to cross the finish line. Like Paul declared, I'm going all the way with Jesus. And man, I'm not going to go alone. I'm going to fulfill what God's purpose is for my life before I take my last breath. He's not going to say to me, I wish you'd done more. He's going to say to you, you did more than I even asked, because I know the anointing that's in your life will change other people for the glory of God. Can I hear an amen this morning? So today the question is this. Number one, will you get up? Some of you are down this morning. Some of you, man, you paste your face on so good. Man, you make it look so good. You smile when you're supposed to smile. You say praise the Lord when you're supposed to praise the Lord. But you're still laying on that floor on the inside. And God is saying today is your day of change. Today you're going to get up. Some of you are so lukewarm in the things of God. You have so traded Jesus out for the things of this world. Listen, the wages of sin is death. You got to recognize that when you're down, you might have a little fun for a little bit, but the wages that the devil's going to require for you will be your soul. It's time to get up and start running this race all over again and cross the finish line for Jesus Christ, because God's got a plan for you. Today, maybe you don't have friends. Today, maybe you got to get rid of some of your friends. Not that you dislike them. It's not that they're evil. But man, if they're not going to build you, there's no reason to have them that close. You want friends that are going to be just like this guy that carried the paralytic. And I don't know about you, I got friends like that. I got friends I know will carry me if I can't carry myself. I got people praying for me, and the first one, his name is Jesus. I can't fail because God is on my side. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that he loves you. No matter how far you seem to have slidden away from the Lord, no matter how far, and things you've done that, man, you never thought in this world you would have ever done. I want you to know that Jesus knew it before you ever did it. And he already planned for your forgiveness. Already planned for your forgiveness. Already planned to make you a brand new person. Already planned it. You don't have to lay there on the floor anymore. You don't have to lay down in the sin anymore. You can get up. Finish running this race all the way. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, or if there's a sin in your life you know that's going to hold you back from heaven, it's got you on the floor. Today's your day. God wants to set you free. He wants to forgive you, and he wants to push you, because you ain't seen nothing yet, baby. It can only get gooder. Amen? Bow your heads with me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you want him in your life. You need him in your life. You've been using excuses, and today the excuses cease. Today, if you need Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up. Is there anyone here this morning that needs Jesus to wash their sins away? You need salvation. You need God to change you from the inside out. I see that young man right there. Thank you. Very proud of you. Anyone else this morning? I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, sir. Put your hand right back down. Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you, young lady. Is there anyone else? Thank you, baby girl. You know what I found? Is you got to get to a place where you really don't care what people say. You know, if that person next to you is actually influencing you to or not to raise your hand, that's probably not the friend you need. Now, if they're the spouse, that doesn't mean you divorce them. I have to say that out loud. Everybody's looking for some reason. You know what's really funny? It's the single always want to get married, and the married always want to get single. But man, you got to make sure you get people around you who are going to influence you strong, good, positive, godly. I'm going to ask one more time. If you're not right with the Lord and today you want to get right with Jesus, I want you to slide your hand up right now. 5, 4, 3. Thank you, sir. Thank you, man. Thank you, sir. 3. Thank you. 2. Last call. I see it, baby. Put it right back down. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. This is Mindy. She's my daughter-in-law. I pray for her almost every morning. If you ever heard her story, and she's spoken it at youth group, she has every reason not to get up. But this woman, I'm proud to have her as my daughter-in-law. Now listen. I'm not saying we weren't praying against her when she started dating my son. But when you hear her story, that she refuses to lay down, she's going, get up. Get up. There's no one better that I'd like to stand here and lead you to Jesus who raised your hands than this woman. Because she's been there. And guess what? She's up. Amen. If I could have the prayer team come to the front of the altar, please. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you raise your hand. We want to pray with you. The Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my God. Remember, I said, you got to get to that place. Who cares what anybody says? I just want Jesus. I got to be right with the Lord. If you raise your hand, I'd like you to meet me right up front, right here, right now. Grab the person next to you and say, will you come with me? Come meet me right here, right now. Come on now. Give them a hand clap as they come this morning. Meet me. Come on. Come on right out of your chair. Meet me right here, right now. Mindy's going to pray with you over in the corner. We got Bibles for you. We want to encourage you and build you. If you raise your hand, make your way right out. Right out of your chair. Make it right up here. We want to pray with you right up front. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I declare, God, we are a victorious church. without spot or wrinkle. I declare in the name of Jesus that we are people that are powerful, supernatural, that God, by your Spirit, we will cast out devils. We will speak with new tongues. If we touch any other thing, it shall not harm us. And when we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. We thank you, God, that as freely as received, we shall freely give. Thank you, God, that you told us that we can do mighty exploits for heaven. I declare that greater work shall you do, because you, Jesus, went to the Father. Lord, move through us. Use us. Oh God, this week, let us lead at least one soul to Jesus. God, use us to help restore somebody who's walked away from you, that God has slid down in the hole and needs to be pushed up. Use us, Jesus, for your honor and your glory. Let us be a friend, God, that is a restorer for those that are wounded, for the glory of heaven. And everybody in the room shouted, amen. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. If you raise your hand for salvation, come right down here to the front right now. Be bold. God will touch your life forever.